Testing. Okay. Let us all say a word or two in our own
word or two
voice.
Just to follow that up, one of the things we try to do with when we put together the final transcript in a file is to get photographs of. We'd like to get a selection of photographs that you might have so that we can put them in the Smith collection so that people will have access to them. And one of them, presumably you have photos.
Yeah, I have some. They're all in a box someplace.
Yeah.
I'll scatter out some you can look through.
Yeah, we'd like some.
Start out and then stop and maybe.
Okay, so say a few things, please.
It's easier to respond to something, I guess. Yeah.
No, we should just take it easy and not feel.
This is Joseph Marquez, oral historian of the Center for History of Chemistry, along with Jeffrey Sturcio, associate director of the Center for History of Chemistry, and Professor Stuart Winston Churchill's office on the campus of the University of Pennsylvania. Professor Churchill is Carl Lee S. Patterson, Professor of Chemical Engineering, and we shall interview him today, March 21st, 1985. Professor Churchill, let's begin by asking you a few questions about your family background and early education. When and where were you born?
I was born in Imlay City, Michigan, that's I-M-L-A-Y. City, Michigan, on June 13th, 1920.
Could you give us the names of your parents and their occupations?
My father's name is Howard Heenan, H-E-E-N-A-N, Churchill. And he worked as a banker and later as an insurance agent and independent businessman. My mother was a high school teacher before she was married and did not work consistently at any job after that.
And her name is?
Faye Irma Schurte, S-H-U-R-T-E, Schurte Churchill.
Do you have any siblings?
I have two brothers. My next oldest brother is Robert Howard Churchill. He was also an engineer, but eventually took over my father's business and has now retired. I have a younger brother, James Paul Churchill, who is a federal judge in Michigan.
Would you say that Robert was older than you, or he's?
No, they're both younger.
So you're the oldest. Was there anything particular in your early schooling that led to your interest in engineering, or do you have any particular reminiscences that stick with you from high school and in the city?
I had never thought about the possibility of taking engineering in college until a career guidance counselor looked at my test that I had taken and said that that's what I should do. I had really intended to study chemistry or physics or mathematics to that point. And indeed, I applied at Harvard in chemistry and in Michigan in chemical engineering. And I received a scholarship at Michigan and not at Harvard, so that was the career choice.
So who was it you were hoping to study at Harvard, or just go to Harvard for chemistry?
I did not have even a knowledge of who might have been there. Yeah.
And was that the same for Michigan? It was just the idea of going to Michigan for chem aid?
My mother was a graduate of the University of Michigan, and we grew up hearing a great deal about Michigan. I had visited there many times, so I was very predisposed to go there. There was actually a third choice. One of my high school teachers tried very hard to persuade me to go to Hillsdale. He was an athletic coach, and I actually would have had a better financial arrangement there, but they didn't have engineering, so I didn't.
Many students, when they go through high school, at least in my experience, either study the sciences and math, or they study humanities, or they're athletes. But what was your high school experience like? Were you slated for a technical kind of a goal, or Was it?
I don't think so. I went to a very small high school, so there was very little choice in what I might have elected to take. I enjoyed the mathematics and science perhaps the most, but I had perhaps an equal interest in languages and in English and in other subjects. I think perhaps maybe the mathematics teaching that I had had some persuasive effect on this.
So you had at least some background in math and chemistry and physics when you went on to Michigan?
Very elementary.
Did your parents influence the orientation of your career in any way?
My father was strongly opposed all my life to my studying engineering. And he really wanted me to go into business with him, of course. And my other two brothers also both took engineering, so these were consecutive defeats. But actually, the one brother went back. And my mother, I think, was permissive in this sense. She was very strong in urging me to go to college, but I don't think she had any particular predisposed ideas of what I should take.
When you graduated from high school, it wasn't exactly a buoyant time for going for business, was it? And I mean, did the general economic climate have any impact on your decision? Or
well, the general economic climate made it very difficult for anybody to go to college then. There may have only been two or three out of my high school class of 40 who went to college, partly because it was an agricultural community and the parents perhaps didn't want them to, but secondly because we were just coming out of the Depression. And this was a very difficult problem for my family, and getting scholarship help was a great factor. I think between earning money and scholarships, it did not cost my family anything for the first two or three years of college. They might have been, they were somehow scrounged so that I could anyway.
Let me ask it this way. You said that only a few people out of your class went to college. What eventually did most of the people who were your cohorts in high school do? Did they stay in the area?
It is a very curious thing. I do not know. And the reason is that was exactly the time World War II broke out. Mm-hmm. And so almost all of them went into, sooner or later, into military service. And when I returned to my hometown, when my parents were there, almost none of these young people that I've known were any longer there. Mm-hmm. And I have, I think, lost touch with every single person in my high school class. I would not know where a one would be today.
Were there any other teachers or books or clubs that you belonged to that helped to shape your decision to go on and take courses in chemical engineering?
I find it hard to remember any, because I think when I went to the University of Michigan to take chemical engineering, I didn't have the vaguest idea about what it was about.
Right.
And I'm afraid that I was somewhat undiscriminating in what I studied. I remember in high school reading through the library, starting at the top shelf, and reading every book in the high school library, which doesn't indicate sort of a voraciousness of seeing things. And so I don't think my interests were focused. I was very interested, more interested in athletics and in music. And I remember being interested in science fiction, and that may have had some impact. But I certainly studied no particular books or authors or anything. We were engineers. I remember going to talk to the one person in my town that I could discover that was an engineer. And he tried to persuade me not to, because he was out of work. And was rather disheartening.
Did this, speaking of sort of books and other influences, this of course was the time when DuPont was using its new slogan, "Better Things for Better Living." And did that sort of thing make its way to Michigan, or the World's Fair a couple of years later, or even a few years earlier, the Chicago?
Well, I was very impressed with the Chicago World's Fair. I went to the Chicago World's Fair. We spent a week there. And I think that may have been a strong scientific influence. I remember, indeed, just being overwhelmed by the hall of science.
Yeah, and of course the slogan, science applies, man applies, or industry applies, man.
That was a very, from very deep memories. I can remember many things from that trip when I must have been 13.
Well, that's good to know. So, you decided to, you applied to Michigan and got a scholarship. I recall reading in Varma's article that you said that your experience with mathematics early in your college career is one of the things that shaped your later use of mathematics in engineering. What other sorts of influences at Michigan do you recall?
Well, I was almost not a chemical engineer at Michigan. I became very close to my professor in mathematics my freshman year. And I actually switched to mathematics.
What was it? Was his name?
Clyde Love. He wrote two very well-known books then on differential equations and on calculus and analytical geometry. Michigan had a remarkable applied math department then. And as a consequence, he convinced me that I could study both mathematics and chemical engineering, and that if I enrolled as a mathematics student instead of a chemical engineer, that since there were very few in the applied math department, I would have my choice of courses in the university and so forth, because I wouldn't have to go through all this mass operation. So it was not known that I was in chemical engineering until I was a senior, and I then confronted the department with the fact that I had taken all their courses. And they were quite grim about this. I remember the confrontation with G.G. Brown, who said, "That does not guarantee you're going to get a degree in chemical engineering." But they were reasonable. And, but I was somewhat offbeat for this reason. And also, I played in the University of Michigan band for 4 years, the marching band. And this was a very comprehensive effort. I probably spent more time doing that than I did in class. We practiced perhaps 16 hours a week or something of this kind, and I had remember one of my freshman teachers telling me that I could not miss a test in order to go on a trip with the band, and I said, "Well, it's the University of Michigan band, it's a trip." And he said, "You'll have to make a choice whether you're going to be an engineer or a musician." And I said, "Well, I've already made that choice, but that doesn't mean I can't do other things." So I had a very difficult time with him. In fact, he gave me a zero for the test for going on the trip. Curry said the first time I ever came to the University of Pennsylvania was as a member of the University of Michigan marching band in 1939 when Michigan played Pennsylvania.
Well, we should ask you another little later whether it changed much. You were close to Clyde Love as one of your math professors. Were there other professors early in your Michigan career who you...
Well, I had him the first semester.
Oh, well, that's early. You can...
And I remember the English professor I had, Leigh Brackett, the first semester. And I won't say that I thought about switching to English, but I realized I did very well in those courses. And so I took many English courses. Abnormal number of them, probably.
I gather from what you say that most of the engineering students can have quite the flexibility in their curriculum that your experience.
I think that nominally they did, but they had no focus and therefore reason to set up courses, so they were just doing the same thing that the students do here, sort of going through a cafeteria and picking up courses. As a consequence of doing the mathematics and chemical engineering, I had no flexibility. Because the band, which meant I could never take laboratories in the fall, meant that I had a very peculiar curriculum. I took courses out of order, and for that reason I did not know most of the other students in chemical engineering.
Well, that was going to be one of my next questions. In addition to, I'd like to ask you in a minute about the Chem-E faculty, but were there other, do you recall other students who were there at the time, other faculty, who later went on to, the students at least, who later went on to chemical engineering careers?
I lost touch with almost all of them, again for the same reason of the war. Curiously, a few of them that I knew in the mathematics program, I've kept in touch with, but very few of the undergraduate chemical engineering students. Gordon Van Wylen, who was later chairman of mechanical engineering and dean of engineering at Michigan, is now president of Hope College, where my daughter goes, and I were classmates for 4 years, but we never remember seeing each other.
Perhaps we might name a few professors from your chemistry courses and ask what influence these men had upon you, and what was your relationship with them while you were an undergraduate. There's A.H. White.
I had A.H. White as a senior, of course, although he was still commuting to Washington because the war was on. And he had a very profound effect upon me, I think, as a person. Also, he gave me a sense of almost the history of chemical engineering. He founded chemical engineering at the University of Michigan. Not chemical engineering, but he was the first professor there. He went to Zurich to study there and came back and thought that chemical engineering should be a separate curriculum.
Well, he'd been chairman for quite a while, hadn't he, also?
He had been chairman. At that time, he had stepped down as chairman, and Brown had become chairman.
Right, he was chairman from 1914 through 1942.
That was 42 I'm speaking of, and that
was
the year Brown became.
Yes, and he was also a pioneer in formal contract research for industry and government. In 1920, he got the University of Michigan to enter into some sort of agreement.
Yes, I think that involved Badger as well. This was with the Svensson Evaporator Company, and some people say that was the first industrial research contract in the university.
Did that sort of close connection with industry characterize the way that most of the Michigan faculty in chemical engineering structured their time, or was White unique among
them? Well, they all had a very close involvement with industry. Is consulting, and most of the research projects, they all were doing research, and it all came from industry, not from the federal government. And so I didn't know there was any other way to do things. That was the accepted mode.
Did undergraduate students get involved in research projects?
Well, I did. We had the choice of doing so, and my senior year I worked with Don Katz and Bill Collimore. Bill Collimore was another student, and we did a senior research project, which Don later submitted for publication. And I think that was one. I got to know Don Katz very well this way, and it may have been a persuasive factor in my returning to graduate school. That single experience.
That article, by the way, was found in the Oil and Gas Journal.
Yes.
And it's entitled "Phase Behavior of the Acetylene Ethylene System."
I'd like to discuss that a little bit. It intrigued me. Two things about the article intrigued me. One was the obvious relevance it had to the growing petrochemical industry at the time, and it's couched in those terms, and understanding the phase behavior of these different mixtures of acetylene, ethylene, ethane, acetylene, and the other binary mixtures would help refiners to process the refinery gases more efficiently. That's one thing. The second thing was that it was based in part on work that was done in the 1890s by a German. And that just struck me as intriguing that you should pick up something that old to do further work on.
Apparently nothing was done in between. And Katz and Corrada had either discovered or rediscovered this phenomenon of retrograde condensation. It turned out to have a very important application in the ownership of gas above oil wells, and they were involved in lawsuits over this in California on whether somebody pumped out gas, they were getting somebody else's oil or not. And that work, that was inspired some of that work in this business of retrograde condensation, which it goes in the opposite direction from what common sense would tell you was the heart of this. And Katz thought that perhaps this system might behave that way, and indeed it did. It was published in a fairly second-rate journal, the Oil and Gas Journal, because in the limited time we had, we didn't measure any compositions. Mm-hmm. And so Don Katz was a little nervous over whether some systematic error we might have made he could not have necessarily defended. It turned out they were all right, because another man did that as his PhD thesis and simply repeated our work. So
who was Collimore, W.G. Collimore?
W.G. Collimore was either the second or third best student in my class in college, and he went to work for Exxon, but he had some mental breakdown and tried to kill himself, and I have no idea what ever happened. He was in an asylum for years. He did not behave that way when I knew him. So.
And McCurdy is the one who, J.L. McCurdy,
yes,
is the one who did the work later. Was this, I mean, did Katz have a large group of graduate undergraduate students working on problems like this, or was it just he had one project that you were enlisted to help with?
Well, he had a large number of graduate students during that period, but this was 1942, and many of the graduate students went away for one reason or another. Actually, George Prechtschat was going to do this particular thing as his doctoral thesis, and there were unhappiness over that. He went away in the war, and he was a lieutenant and a captain. He came back, and in a sense, it was done. And there was some unhappiness, and he eventually went to Minnesota and did his doctoral thesis for Michigan at Minnesota. It was on the faculty there. He's now chairman of chemical engineering at University of Missouri, Columbia. A good friend. It has nothing to do, and I guess with Katz, but there was hard feeling about somebody picking up his work when he was gone.
That's always a trick.
I didn't even know George Prechtschat at the time. But he had a large number. Corrado was there then. He's the only one that I remember of that group, although there may, I guess, maybe Standing and a few others.
But I'd like to come back to that particular piece of research, and when we start to talk about the work that you did after joining Shell Oil, not that there's necessarily a connection, but I wanted to raise that again. But if we could go back for a minute to A.H. White and the other faculty. You said that you had White as a senior. Was that a course, a research course, or a lecture course? What?
It was a lecture course of descriptive nature in which he described all the processes used in the chemical industry. I remember being impressed because he knew these all off the cuff. This was not something you could find in a book anywhere.
It would seem to me that would be an older style way, even then.
Even then, it was completely different from anyone else at the time. The undergraduate curriculum was quite different, but it was more mathematical, of course, but all algebraic.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conflict because I was studying mathematics at a much higher level than they were using in chemical engineering. It may have been 15 years before I ever found any use for any of this, because all of the chemical engineering work at that time was on a completely different mathematical level, and I wasn't yet capable of associating the two, so to speak.
Did you have courses with Katz other than the research that you did?
I never had a course. No, I did not have a course directly from him. He taught a few sections of courses that I had, that is, substituting for somebody else, but I never had a course from him.
And how about George Baker Brown, that course of invention?
Only as a graduate student.
Which of the other chemi faculty did you study with as an undergraduate?
Faust, Breyer, Townsend, Baker, York, Bankero.
Sounds like you must have taken every course.
Bankero and York were instructors and ran the laboratory, so I knew them in that category. And McCready, I probably had almost every member of the faculty at one time or another. Plus, I actually had White, I take this back, as a freshman lecturer. He lectured on materials. We went to those lectures, but they were shared also. And this was a joint department of chemical and materials processing. And so those early years, most of the courses were not from the chemical engineering faculty. We studied things like welding and forging and all those kind of things, which long since gone from the curriculum.
That was probably one of our next questions. What courses of study did you take? Can you remember some?
Well, the first course in chemical engineering is the same as it is now. It's a course in stoichiometry, which I studied from Howard and Watson's. And then thermodynamics was not taught in chemical engineering, and I took physical chemistry, two courses in physical chemistry, Case and Gillette, and then unit operations, and I had Faust one semester and Breyer the other semester, and I had a course in inorganic technology from Baker.
Was Lewis McAdams and I forgot the third name,
You know, it was the unit operations text line, but still.
They used Badger and McCabe at Michigan. Michigan people instead of Walter Wilson. I was aware of that book. I looked up things in it occasionally.
The book we're speaking of is called Principles of Chemical Engineering, authored by W.H. Walker, W.K. Lewis, and W.H. McCadams.
I did not study
it in 1920.
I did not study it.
Didn't for the course in internet technology, was that also the. Didn't Badger and McCabe do a book?
It was written by Badger and Baker.
That's it.
Curiously, Badger later asked me to revise Badger and McCabe with him.
What other text do you recall using at that time?
As I say, Badger's book on organic technology. To unit operations, we used Badger and McCabe. Those are the only books I recall. I'm thinking of my library now. I don't know that I have any other books. White used only lecture notes in his course, and in physical chemistry, I know I used Getman and Daniels' book and Case's notes on the phase rule. But
how about your courses in mathematics? What courses did you take? Do you remember what text maybe you used? I'll ask other questions later on. I would like to know later on about what effect this had upon your interest in mathematicizing.
I certainly used Love's books in analytical geometry and in calculus. I used Robinson's book on differential equations in chemical engineering. I'm trying to think who taught that course. It was not Love. I used a book in advanced calculus, which I have here. I can still see it red. I'm trying to think of it. By Macmillan, but I've lost the name. I could look that up for you, but I offhand, I've forgotten the name of the book. And I love courses in advanced calculus. He also gave us almost entirely notes. So I did not.
Did you come across Sherwood and Reed's book on applied mathematics and chemical engineering while you were an undergraduate?
No. My first semester is a graduate student.
And did any of the other chemi students combine as much interest in and study in mathematics as with chemi as you did? Or were you the only one who was making that connection?
I was the only one. The other students were all in some other branch of engineering.
Was the focus of the department's work and teaching more, I mean, on a spectrum from highly theoretical to strictly practical or empirical, where would you say most of it lay?
I suppose it lay in between. These were all people with practical experience, but we studied the theory of all these processes. It was merely that the theory was not very advanced at the time, and as far as I know, we used as advanced theory as was more or less available in those particular subjects.
Did the course you took in physical chemistry help with that research project you did as a senior? You mentioned Case used his notes on the phase rule, and you were, of course, doing work with phase diagrams.
Well, undoubtedly it had, you know, was connected. That was by all means the most difficult course in chemical engineering, if not in the University of Michigan at the time. This was universally conceded. No one understood what Case was doing much. As a graduate student, I also took courses from him and found them so challenging. He was a recognized genius, and he was not being obscure. It was just Case had a little trouble dealing with ordinary humans.
I see. Some theoretical scientists are like that.
I might also say I took physical chemistry at the same time I took another course. Because I took seven, I decided to get this joint degree, so one semester I took seven courses. And the only way I could do it would be to take courses on top of one another. So I just had to be lucky they would never give exams the same day. And I didn't want to get caught that way once.
I see. That must have been some letter. Your senior year was, of course, the year Pearl Harbor, the U.S. getting into the Second World War. You've already mentioned a couple of instances where people did leave and things were quite disrupted. What effect did that have on Michigan and on the chemi department while you were there? Did people just leave sort of
No one left except, I think, some of the graduate students. Faust told us we were the worst class he had in his entire history of teaching, and he attributed this to everybody who was distracted by what was going to happen to them. Pearl Harbor happening in December and our graduating in May. We thought that was an